Now let's continue on right here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. See, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's all the brethren. So every elder, every apostle, every prophet, evangelist, and I think the best thing we need to do today is not exalt ourselves with titles, because every man who breaks off and starts a new church of God, he's some kind of apostle for something. Well, why doesn't he just study the Word of God and just be a teacher? Teach the brethren. That's what Jesus said. He was a teacher, right? Yes. Okay. But for the perfecting of the saints, you see, and unless the teachers are growing and overcoming, as Paul said to the Jews there in Romans, the second chapter, you who teach others, don't you teach yourself? Okay. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the upbuilding, until we all, so we're all included in this process, all brethren, all elders, okay, until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. See, perfection. I'm going to give a sermon on perfections. That's the goal. Not who's in charge, not how much control someone has, not ruling over the brethren, because then you're abusing the flock. We, through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, are to help all of us together come to God on our knees, in our lives, in repentance and service, and yielding to God to grow in grace and knowledge. See, the goal is great. The rewards are fantastic. But we have to do it God's way. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, how much does that take? That means that all of those who are teaching to bring this about, how can you bring it about unless you grow in grace and knowledge? Study the Word of God. Apply it to yourself. Explain it to others, so that we no longer be children tossed and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness. That's political aspects within the church of God. See? What did Paul say later to the church of Ephesus there? Acts the 20th chapter. He said, feed the flock whom Christ the Holy Spirit has purchased through Christ. See? Then he told him, I know that grievous wolves are going to come in, and even among you will arise those who will leave God. Okay, I'm just paraphrasing what he said there in Acts 20. Okay? See, that's why. If there is a sin, you must have the spiritual solution. Now, there may be some physical things you need to do as well, but you have to have the mental and the spiritual inner repentance and resolve and ability with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, then to let the washing of the water of the Word, Christ, in you, to clean you up inside. Okay? But notice this. But holding the truth in love. Not our own ideas, not our own ways. The truth, the Word of God is true. Commandments are true. God is true. Okay? May in all things grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. So there's a lifetime of growth. There's a lifetime of overcoming. And this is what we're to continue to do. And remember what Paul wrote to the Hebrews. At the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need of milk again. See? Now notice what God wants. Here is the whole working of it, you see. From whom all the body, fitly framed and compacted together by that which every joint supplies, we all have something to supply. According to the inner working that is of the Holy Spirit within us, you see. This is how there is change. This is how there is growth. This is how we overcome. The inner working and the measure of each individual part is making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, use that as a measure of your life. use that as a measure of growing and overcoming. This is how it's to be done, see? Now we get into the things we should not do because those interfere with the washing of the water by the word. Okay? Verse 17, so then I declare and testify this in the Lord, that you are no longer to walk, even as the rest of the Gentiles are walking, in the vanity of their minds. Don't be like the world. Don't be like the religions of the world, having their understanding darkened. Now let me explain something that's very interesting. So hold your place here and come to the Gospel of John chapter 3, all right? And I want to explain something to you which will help you understand why people cannot see themselves walking into apostasy. But they are. Okay? No. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 18. It's after he says that God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, etc. Okay? Verse 18. The one who believes in him is not judged because you have repented. See? You cannot believe in Christ without repenting. It's that simple. But the one who does not believe has already been judged because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that belief must continue to go on. You must have faith, hope, and love where? To the end. All right? This is the judgment that the light has come into the world, who is Christ. But men love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. That's why they hate God. They want to continue in their sins. And if they can't reform God to their ways, they'll go on their ways and continue in their sins, you see. Whereas Paul back in chapter 4 said, you're not to do that. All right? Does not come to the light that his works may not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth is coming to the light. And it means exactly what it says. If you're living by the truth and practicing the truth, you're coming to Christ every day. You're coming to the Father every day. You're growing, you're changing every day. So that his works may be manifested, that they have been accomplished by the power of God, or in God, or through God, and it's by his power. Now, what happens if you stop coming to the light, if you stop coming to Christ, if you stop or you turn a little bit from the light, okay? Now, remember, a half a degree over 12,000 miles is going to leave you many miles off course at the other end, correct? Okay. Now, here's a phenomenon that happens when people leave the truth. They still have enough truth in them that they think they're still in the light. It's just like we have lights here. If you turn your back to the light, you can see where the light is still ahead of you, shining from back behind you. So you think you're in the light. But you're not. You're walking away from the light. And what happens sooner or later, you walk away, it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Poof. Darkness. That's what happens to people. Now, they can turn around at some place on that journey away from the light and come back through repentance, if they would. See? But this is how people are deceived when they first start leaving God. And then Satan comes along and they go, here's an idea. Oh, that's a good idea. Boop! Here's another idea. Oh, look at that. See? Boop! You know, a lot of these Sunday keepers are converted. How can they be when they're never in covenant with Christ? They may have some of the Bible, they may have some of the truth, but if they are coming to the light, which exposes Sunday, Christmas, Easter, and all of that, then they would repent, would they not? Since they don't, they have no light in them. See? And that's what happens. This is what Paul is warning about, and this is why we need to be aware of what it is with the washing of the water by the word. All right, so here's what happens. Let's come back here to Ephesians 4 and verse 18. You see the progression, walking in the vanity of their minds. Now, if something comes along, ooh, this is an idea, compare it with the word of God. See? You don't get lifted up in the vanity of your minds. Now, how many times have we right here, and also on my trips, gone to 2 Chronicles 32 and about Hezekiah, how that because he got lifted up in heart, God left him. Okay? Vanity of your minds? I said he got lifted up in. Okay? What happens then? Having their understanding darkened. That's the next step. You see the progression. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. So then your heart becomes hardened. What's the next step? They have cast off all feelings and have given themselves up to licentiousness to work every uncleanness with insatiable desire. Now, if you don't believe how this works, now for those of you not in California, see if you can get some kind of documentary showing the abominations of Sunset Boulevard, Sunset and Vine, and Hollywood Boulevard on Friday night. And you will see, yes, they've given themselves over to uncleanness with insatiable desire. That's the whole point of rock music and rap music and pornography, and lying, and cheating, and stealing, and all of these things. Okay? Now he says, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Because what is the result of verses 17 through 19, those three verses? A grace that is not from God. A grace to commit sin. A grace of license to do evil. You've not so learned Christ. Now, let's see what we are to do and how this builds up toward verse 25 in chapter 5. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him according to the truth in Jesus, that concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man. See, now that's all a part of what we learned during unleavened bread. See, yes, we're to put out sin, but eating the unleavened bread means we put in righteousness, not just putting out sin. Because if you put out sin, then what you're doing, you're leaving a vacuum. You have to put in righteousness, that you put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And what is the great Achilles heel of human nature? Self-deception, right? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. Right? Think about it. Every human being is destructive. Now, they may not have killed, per se, but they've hated and murdered in their minds. Look at the world. Look at all the destruction. Look at everything that is going on. Everything ends up in destruction, and every man is a walking lie. Every woman is a walking lie. Okay? Now, let me just a little sidebar here for all women, if you've been bitten with the bug of feminism. Who was the creator of mankind? Let's go back to Adam and Eve. We won't use mankind because that's how NIV does it today, okay? Who's the creator of Adam and Eve from whom all men and women have come? Jesus Christ. Who is the Savior of men and women? Jesus Christ. Does he know the minds of women as well as the minds of men? Yes. Are both carnal and sinful? Yes. Okay? Look at the great fallen idol of the pious Osama bin Laden. Now they know he was addicted not only to his four wives, but pornography. All human endeavor leads to destruction. And if it doesn't lead to destruction, it leads to an end of life, because God put in us the law of death. Okay? So we need to understand that. So here's what we are to do. Concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man. How do you do that? Through the washing of the water by the word. See? Which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is the whole key. That is the whole reason for the washing of the water by the word. And this is the spiritual process of conversion within. You cannot make people righteous by shouting at them that they're sinners. Everyone has to repent him or herself, correct? Yes. That's why we have the Word of God today. We can study, can't we? Yes. And that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So you put out the lies, you put out the deception, you put in the truth. You put out self, you put out the ideas of Satan, the ideas of men, and you put in Christ and the Word of God through the washing of the water of the Word. Okay? Now notice, verse 25 down through verse 30. All right? These become important because this tells us the Achilles heels that we still have and that we still get involved with. Therefore, let each one put away lies and speak truth with his neighbor. To the world, that'd be a novel idea, right? Yes. Because we are members of one another. So quit deceiving yourself. It talks about deceitful lust up here. Quit kidding yourself. And that is the rationalization of inner thought to justify your own sinful behavior. Isn't that correct? Yes, indeed. Verse 26, when you become angry, do not sin. There's a righteous indignation, but we'll look at some of the Proverbs a little later and see about anger. It says, stay away from a furious man, lest you become like him. See? Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, because it'll keep you awake all night. And there are certain things, as we will see, anger, bitterness, hatred, and things which we'll expound a little bit more. Those are in the hidden recesses of the mind that you have to get out. Now, last week I talked about getting out from underneath the real big ones, such as rape or incest, you see. Abuse, all of those things. Abuse by parents, abuse by siblings, abuse by employers, abuse by churches. And those things cause scars and hurts, and you need to get those out as well. See? All of them. Because here's why. Neither give place to the devil, because you've gotten rid of him through repentance and baptism, but do not open the door for him again. That's why chapter 2 says, what? Prince of the power of the air. Now don't give him an entrance again. Let the one who stole steal no more. Let him labor with his hands working at what is good, so that he may impart something to the one who has need. Do not let any corrupt communication come out of your mouths. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Okay? And let me just tell you this. The more that you put away these things and the more that you're away from them, if you start channel surfing and go through the channel surfing, you're going to see that almost everything on television is based on some kind of sin and some kind of lie and some kind of satanic deception. And that affects us. But that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear. Okay. Now, verse 30 tells us something very important. All right. Now, I'm going to readjust this, the translation here for the next printing of the Bible. And it will read, "Do not grieve, do not vex the Holy Spirit." Because grieve has a connotation that this is a person. But it's the power of God. Do not vex the Holy Spirit of God by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. What are we talking about by vexing? That is working at cross purposes with the Holy Spirit in us. What is working at cross purposes of the Holy Spirit? The very things we just read. See? Lying, anger, giving place to the devil, stealing, corrupt communication. Those are working at cross purposes of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what? The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of change, the power of God to convert you. See? So I'm going to put a little footnote in there to explain it, that you're working at cross purposes. You vex the Holy Spirit of God within you, or frustrate it, because the Holy Spirit comes from God and the Holy Spirit within you communicates to God. And so you've got the spots of these sins vexing the Holy Spirit of God, because this is what you were sealed, had been sealed for the day of redemption. That ties right back here to chapter 1 and verse 13. Yes, and verse 14, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay. Now, here are other things which we will get into details concerning, which is this, because this also vexes the Holy Spirit. This also puts things in your minds where you are not going to be forgiving, and forgiving people their sins, and not holding grudges, and not being jealous, and not being envious. All of those things work against the working of the Holy Spirit in your mind. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you, together with all malice. So this is why I have said, now, let's come back here to Matthew 18. Let's see what Christ says needs to happen. Matthew 18. And you know, it's the parable of the man who had 10,000 talents and God forgave him. And what did he do? He went out and found one man who owed him a silver coin and couldn't pay it. Okay. Owed him 100 silver coins in verse 28. After he had compassion, after he received forgiveness, after he received mercy, after he had all of that debt forgiven, see? Then he went out, verse 28, and found a fellow servant who owed him 100 silver coins. And after seizing him, he choked him, saying, "Pay me what you owe." Well, as a result, his fellow servant fell down at his feet and pleaded with him, saying almost the same words, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." But he would not listen. Not forgiving. Instead, he went and cast him into prison until he should pay the amount that he owed. Now, when his fellow servants saw the things that had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went to their lord and related all that had taken place. So now judgment day is going to come. This is telling us there's a time that God is going to call us into judgment concerning our carnal attitudes and ways, you see. We must forgive. Now, I've seen even documentaries where the command to forgive was used to help heal the wounds of the survivors who had a family member murdered and a murderer. Have you ever seen any of those? Where they go in and over a period of meetings, the one who perpetrated the crime repents And the ones who were victimized by it, forgive. And it lifts a great burden from the mind, you see. When you don't forgive, it's like plunging your brain into the ocean with a huge iron anvil. That's also called depression. A lot of depression is brought about. Some can be physical, some can be nutritional, but most of it's caused by wrong thinking, lack of forgiveness, hatred, bitterness, you see. Now here, he wouldn't listen. So now the day of judgment comes, verse 32. Then his Lord called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you implored me." You were on your knees crying right in front of me, saying, oh, I don't have anything to pay. How can I pay it? See, were you not also obligated to have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion on you? Everyone wants his or her sins forgiven, but are you willing to forgive the other person? Now, sometimes those who have perpetrated things against you that you still have in the back of your mind have died. So you have to forgive them before God. And that will help relieve your mind from that burden. Because you see, you cannot have your mind converted when you leave a section of your mind for bitterness and hatred and envy and jealousy and greed and all of this sort of thing. Because it vexes or works against or cross purposes with the Holy Spirit, see? Now, sooner or later it's going to catch up with you. Verse 34, and in anger his Lord delivered him up to the tormentors until he should pay all that he owed to him. Likewise, my heavenly Father shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother's offenses from the heart. It's not like this. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I'll forgive you. Is that the kind of forgiveness you want from God? Sooner or later. Now, let's see what we are to do instead of that. Come back here to Ephesians 4 and verse 32. So here's how we change that behavior, see? And this has to come from God, and this has to come from His Spirit, because God's Spirit is to work within us, and we are to use God's Spirit, see? And be kind and tenderhearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God has also in Christ forgiven you. That's why we need to remember, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you will find this, that when you do forgive, and you do it from the heart, and you really mean it, now it may be something stuck in your craw, so to speak, for so long, that it's going to take some time to really attain the forgiveness that you need. But keep at it. It will come. You can't say, oh, God, forgive him. I forgive him. Amen. Now you have to ask God, please cleanse my mind. Please cleanse that out of my mind. Just like if there is a sin, like on a stuck record repeating itself in your mind. And it keeps coming back on you. Well, then you really pray and ask God to cleanse your mind and get it out of your mind. And study the Word of God and put God's Word in there to have that replace what your mind has malfunctioned on, you see. Because when we change our thinking, and with God's Spirit, we change physically our brains. So we don't think in the same way. And that's what conversion is all about. Now notice how we accomplish this, chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators as God, of God. Be imitators of God. Think of that. That's our standard. So how's God? God is merciful. God is kind. His mercy endures forever, right? Now you go back and you study 2 Chronicles 33, all right? And a companion chapter there in 2 Kings 24 about Manasseh. And look at everything that that man did, and it gradually got worse over the period of his 55-year reign. Now, I cannot conceive of having Obama reign for 55 years over us, but I would have to say that that's probably very akin to what happened to the children of Israel. And what happened, they all got swept up in it themselves too, see? And ask yourself the question, if he came to you and asked for forgiveness, would you forgive him? He dealt with demons, put his children through the fire to Moloch, built idols in the temple, all the host of heaven, set up booths for homosexuals right on the temple grounds, shed a lot of innocent blood in Jerusalem. Well, God finally sent him off in captivity to Assyria. And that's when the Assyrians were controlling Babylon. And guess what he did in prison? He repented. God forgave him. And God restored him to the throne as a vassal king. Because he probably made the promises, oh God, if you'll forgive me, oh God, if you'll ever let me go back to Jerusalem, I know that's probably impossible, but if you ever will, I promise you that when I get back there, I'll destroy every idol. I'll take down everything that I ever put up. I will renounce the putting of children through the fire to Moloch. So that's what he did. He went back and did that. Okay? Now, stop and think. Who is it that you haven't forgiven? Who is still in the back of your mind that occupies a place in your mind that you have no forgiveness? Well, you have to answer that question. You have to examine that before God yourself, you see, so you can see what you need to do. Okay? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Okay? Verse 2, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Oh, we want to go to God and say, oh, God, apply the shed blood of Jesus Christ to my sins, you know, and then get up off our knees and still hate someone. Get up off our knees and still have bitterness in our mind, envy in our minds, jealousy in our minds, you see. Well, you can't be double-minded. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later here in the next one, see? Okay? Now, let's cover a couple more verses here. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, do not permit it to even be named among you as is fitting for saints. And isn't that the problem that people find in most churches? They're all hypocrites in doing these things, right? Yes, and even in the church of God, right? Yes. Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, or jesting, which are not becoming, but instead thanksgiving. So that's how we're to have our behavior changed. This is what the washing of the water by the word is going to do. It's going to clean you, you see. Having cleansed it, that is the church, and he does it each part by each part, each person, you see, by the washing of the water, by the word. So we'll go ahead and end it here and pick it up next time and continue. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.